This is Women of Grace Live, discussing issues important to your life and faith. Spiritual insight, practical wisdom. Join us as we transform the world one woman at a time. Women of Grace, for such a time as this. Now, here's your host, Johnette Williams.
Well, good morning, everyone, and welcome to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. It's great to be with you today. It has been fun being with you all week, both on television and radio. Changed up the schedule a little bit in these last couple of days. Became important to, you know, go into that self-isolation mode. And so that's what we're doing. I do not have the coronavirus. I don't mean to suggest that. But here, you know, if we can work from home, we have been called by the city. And EWTN, very concerned for all of us, said if we can work from home, we ought to be working from home. Lots of us are working from home. I work from home almost every day, but I was in studio to do production work, and we were able to bring that to you both on television and radio. I'd be really curious to hear what you thought of that. If it met a need in your life, did you like it or not? Just let us know. Let me give you the number to call us, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. That is the way that you can join us live here on Women of Grace Live, where we so do love having that holy conversation with you. Always inviting you to pick up the phone and say hello to Ryan Penny. He loves when you say hello to him, and I love when I get a chance to say hello to you, too. I've got my first-time caller bell here, so if you've not called in before, I'd love to ring that bell for you. I sure would. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. I know that many of our listeners are probably watching EWTN today because we did take those television, because we did take the phone calls yesterday and produce it. An additional half hour of that, which is airing right now on EWTN television. But we're delighted to be with you right here on radio. So many things running through my mind this morning, so much I want to share with you. One thing I definitely want to share with you is to get out there to our website, womenofgrace.com. We have all kinds of wonderful things that are happening. Tonight is the second night of our mini conference. And some of you are wondering, can you still join even though the first night is over? That, yes, you can. Now, let me just tell you, if you get out to womenofgrace.com, there in the slideshow, you can still join up. And if you do join up, you will receive the programming that we did last night, or the webinar, the mini conference that we did last night. You will receive an opportunity to watch that on your own. So it's not like you would miss last evening. You would actually get a chance to see last evening, and you would hear the questions that were asked, and you could participate in that way. Tonight, of course, you would be able to join us, and you could be with us as the mini conference was taking place. Speaker Gary Zimek is back with us again tonight, and this evening, Father Mitch Pacwa is going to be with us. Last evening, Father Nathan Cromley was with us, and I got to tell you what, it was really terrific. It really, really was. Both men giving us tremendous insight, one by way of somebody who's been a warrior all of his life, the other by way of being a priest of the church and sharing quite a bit about himself in light of the conversation that we had with him. It was just a beautiful, beautiful evening. So we want you to take advantage of that and just get out to our website and you can do so. But we always have things that are going on there, and we invite you to participate with us in those things. These days are causing us all to think in maybe more creative ways, and I know that so many individuals are gathering together. I know our Women of Grace studies are using technology to help them continue to move forward. And word on the street that I'm getting back is that they're so happy that they have this opportunity to come together, especially at this time, even though they can't be physically present. But they're using things like Google Hangout. They're using things like Zoom, WebEx, all of those other means by which people can video conference. So I want to suggest that to you. If you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling is if you are lacking that personal interaction that is so necessary, especially if you live alone, set something up. you know, have a watch party. Go out to EWTN's Facebook page and, you know, you will be able to watch some of the programming together, and you'll be able to participate in those beautiful things that are going on. That's one way that you can come together, or just to have, you know, if you get together with ladies on a regular basis, or gentlemen, if you get together with the guys and you can't do it physically, you can do it, you know, you can do it virtually, if you will. You can do it right there through your website. And I think that that's very, very important. The other thing that I think is really important at this time, and we talked quite a bit about that this week, and I got to tell you, today those questions and answers with Al Crest are very, very good. If you are with us right here and you're not watching that, it's going to repeat for you at 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, 11:30 p.m. Eastern time, so you can watch it then. Tomorrow, Father Weta is going to be with us, and we had a fascinating conversation, so that'll be available to you. And again, we do go head-to-head with ourselves in this hour, in the first part of it anyway, on television and radio, but that television program does rerun at 11:30 p.m. and I do Eastern time, and I do believe that our radio program re-airs at 2 a.m. Eastern time as well. So you can pick us up either way. But one of the things that was in much discussion when we were together with all of these wonderful people is the fact that we need to use this time to our best profit. And one of the ways in which we can use this time to our best profit is really to get serious with the Lord, right? Oftentimes, you know, we catch our dinners on the run. Oftentimes, we also catch our prayer time on the run. I know it happens to me, and I'm guessing it happens to you too. And it becomes like this furious chase to make certain that we spend some time with the Lord. And that's not comfortable. That isn't the way that it's supposed to be. Now, we are not applauding the moment that we're living in right now, because we know that this disease, like all diseases and anything that causes strife to mankind, does not come from God. But God does permit it, because he will work a good out of it. And one of the great goods that he will work out of it is to provide us with time to be with him. We need to make use of the opportunity, though. That's on us. So it's on us to make use of that opportunity. God presents it. We have to say yes. It's just like grace, you know. There's the objective redemption, and then there's the subjective redemption. Objectively, redemption grace exists. It's there for you. Jesus opened the gates of heaven, but he doesn't push you through them, right? So likewise, the redemptive grace is available to you 24/7 in every circumstance, situation, even this one. But he doesn't push us to receive it. He doesn't make us. He doesn't force it upon us. We have to embrace it. We have to reach out and lay hold of it. So this opportunity to spend more time with him is available to you right now, but you have to make use of it. And the evil one will distract you. Oh, this is a great time to catch up on some of those movies I've been wanting to watch on Netflix. Oh, this is a great time, you know, for me to dive into this novel that I want to read. Oh, this is a good time for me to, you know, really get my physical exercise under control. Oh, this is a really good time to try out a few recipes I've been wanting to try but haven't had the time to make. You know, we can find all kinds of things to occupy the time. But just like Jesus said to Martha, who was worried about many things, just like he said to her, Mary has chosen the better part. So yeah, all of those things are fine, but make sure that you put some time in with Jesus. And I've got some insights for you that we'll talk about on the other side of this break. We're inviting you to give us a call here, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Ryan Penny's on the phones for you. EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page is available for you. Jeff Burson, our producer, will go out and get all of those questions and get them up on the board, inviting you to make use of it. I'm available to you, and I'm hoping that you're available to me. Let me know that you are. 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Coming back at you after the break. Stay with us.
Encouraging women in their gift of authentic femininity. Here's more Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams. I'm very happy to be with you today, inviting you to join us. Here's the phone number for you to use. It's toll-free for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. 866. We invite you to pick up the phone, give us a call, say hi to Ryan, and then we can say hi together too. Inviting you also to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. You can insert your question, comment, insight, inspiration, word of encouragement right there in the chat feature. I had asked you at the beginning of the program how you like the television and radio format together. I thought it was interesting. It was interesting for me to produce that way, and I'm wondering what you thought about it. But I've also been asking you, a little bit about the way in which, you're using your time during this occasion of self-isolation or shelter in place, which is basically going on in so many places today. How are you using this to your spiritual advantage? And I've got some insights and suggestions for you, and we'll be talking about this. But I want to get out there to something that is rather disturbing that I hadn't really seen before. But this is something that's been brought to our attention via our EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. And we're going to get to that in just a second. And it has to do with child abuse. And this is very, very concerning that child abuse is up during this coronavirus. And I saw this comment come in, I think it's from Shannon. And so I went out online to try to take a look. And indeed, that is the case. I'm seeing that there is an increase in child abuse during this time of children being at home and parents being at home with them. And that's regrettable. But I do think that it points to a virus that is far more serious in the long run than coronavirus. Even though we know coronavirus is taking lives, there's another way in which it is devastating. Or at least it's being a spotlight that's pointing out to us something that's very devastating. And that is that parents are not used to being with their children for an extended period of time. And that's regrettable, isn't it? They don't know how to manage them over the course of more than a few days. And of course, I do have to say this, the tension, the fright, the concern that we have about this coronavirus puts us on high alert and oftentimes rattles our sensibilities and really becomes, a nerve shaking experience. And so we react rather than act. And that's regrettable. But it points out to me perhaps a great underlying reality that this coronavirus is bringing out of the darkness. And that is the fact that we have become very used to other people managing our children for us, whether it's a teacher in a classroom, whether it is a daycare worker in a childcare institution, whether it's a grandparent that stays at home with those children. Parents are possibly discovering that they really don't know what to do with them. And this is definitely a malady of the culture that points out to us the need to return to a better understanding of the role of the parent in the life of the child and the necessity of the parent in the life of the child. It also points out something else, that in many cases, we have our children so involved in activities that even if we are at home with them on a regular basis, they come home from school and then we're hustling them off to ball fields, to soccer fields, we're hustling them off to dance class, gymnastics, we're taking them to ice skating lessons, we're moving them around. And while we think we're really parenting them, we're not. We're not spending time with them. We might be cheering in the bleachers, but we're not interacting with them. Others are. And so children, now deprived of those opportunities, don't really know what to do with themselves, and parents don't really know what to do with their children, and their nerves are frayed, and they resort to behavior that would be termed abusive. You see, I do believe that God wants to work great things out of every situation that confronts us. And when we are alone with ourselves and we cannot be distracted by all of the trappings of the world, we have to come face to face with some realities. And perhaps we as a country, a nation, a culture have got to come face to face with this reality. Maybe it is that we need to be called up short in some very serious areas. Holy Mother Church tells us and states so in the Catechism of the Catholic Church that parents are what? The primary educators of their children. They're called to be the first educator of the child. And the bonding that's meant to take place between the child and the parent cannot be replaced adequately by another. The child deserves to know the parent. And the parent is charged by God to know the child. And I remember watching something on the news just this past week where a dad said, and he was a frustrated father, he said, how long is this going to be before the kids can go back to school? He was at his wit's end. We ought not to look at our educational institutions as, a nanny situation that we allow to take the place of our own training and child rearing. And that puts in my mind that this is a time for serious self-examination. Not because God wants to hit us over the head with some kind of Ten Commandment cudgel, but because God wants to reveal to us the dynamic reality of who we are and the beautiful way in which, through cooperation with His grace, we can achieve great things, beginning with our family and then branching out to the rest of the world. 833-288-EWTN, that's 833-288-EWTN. 3986. I invite you to pick up the phone, give us a call. Very active out there in social media land today. And my producer, Jeff, is telling me that yes, reports of child abuse and neglect have fallen in many states that worry some experts. In other words, there's a heightened reality of child abuse and neglect of parents. That should scare us and concern us all. Because without the parent, our children become very dysfunctional. There's something lacking. There's something that only a parent can give. There's been studies that have been done on this. A surrogate can be of great value, but there is a connection, a bonding between parent and child, whether that child is yours biologically or whether that child has been entrusted to you through your generosity of heart in being an adoptive parent. There's something that God intends the child to receive from you that can only be received from you. And it's admirable how many people step into the place of the parent when for very sad reasons, the parent is not able to parent the child because of death, because of illness, God forbid, because of incarceration, God forbid, because of drug abuse, and a grandparent or an aunt or an uncle will step in and take the place of that parent. That's admirable. I know that there's an abundance of grace that comes through that, but there is also a residual effect that's caused by the parent not being there, and that's regrettable. Children are facing an increased risk of abuse and neglect as the schools have closed. Teresa out there on YouTube says, I believe God is using this this moment to show people what is truly important, family, and how to get back to it and to bring out what we need to get fixed in us. And I have to agree with you, Teresa. And that's what I was talking about at the beginning of the program. This is a key moment for us as individuals. And God wants to point out these areas that need to come underneath his kingship. He wants to work it out in us, but he will not force himself upon us. We have to say yes to him. And I just want to read to you something that I had prepared to read to you a little earlier on. And it is from My Ideal Jesus, Son of Mary, a beautiful book that I highly recommend and encourage you to get a hold of. My Ideal Jesus, Son of Mary. It's available for you out there through various booksellers. But in it, it's set up like Imitation of Christ. It's in a dialogue fashion between Mary and Jesus and us. And here it's Mary speaking to us. And this, of course, fashioned by Father Emile Noubert, the author, in such a way that allows for us to think more deeply in the reality of our Blessed Lady's intercession beatitude when she's speaking, and in the salvific action and love of our Lord Jesus Christ when in this book he is speaking to us. But our Lady says this: "First of all, I wish to take care of your education as I did for my son Jesus." Receive these words as coming from the heart of our Lady today. "You are my child because you are one with him, and so I shall still be rearing him when I rear you." Isn't that interesting? "First of all, I wish to take care of your education as I did for my son, Jesus. You are my child because you are one with him, and so I shall still be rearing him when I rear you. Rearing you means teaching you to live fully the life of Jesus. It means making you think, love, will, speak, and act as he did. In a word, it means changing you into him." And here, through the voice of Mary, Father Emile gives us an insight that I think is absolutely terrific. Rearing you means teaching you to live fully the life of Jesus. It means making you think, love, will, speak, and act as he did. In a word, it means changing you into him. It means bringing about in you a transformation similar to the transubstantiation which the priest operates in the sacred host. To the physical eye, the host always appears as bread, but to the eye of faith, it is Jesus. You also, exteriorly, will remain yourself, but interiorly, in a certain way, you will be Jesus himself. Perhaps you think this ideal too sublime for you. Do not be dismayed. I have a thorough knowledge of the model, and I know how to form souls to his likeness. And our Blessed Lady, Father Emile, using her voice, goes on from there. But I want to suggest this to you. Since the Catechism tells us that parents are the primary educators of their children, and since the Holy Family is held up as our ideal, would it be plausible to say that we as parents should be rearing our children as Mary reared Jesus and as Joseph reared him? Could we say then that our goal as parents would be to rear our children to be another Christ? And that our call and mission as parents is to be Christ-like to them? Could we say that this is the ultimate goal of parenting? Does that in and of itself imply that we need to invest ourselves in them? That we do need to spend that time with them? Now, I say this because we as Catholics, we as Christians, are just like the general population in so very many ways. We're not perfect. We were not conceived without the stain of original sin. We were not chosen by God for all time to be the mother of Jesus, nor the foster father of Jesus. We come into this world inheriting the stain of original sin and being in many ways the victims of the residual effect of it. We are imperfect. And so the tendency toward imperfection exists in us as it exists in the rest of the population. And there are times when our nerves are frayed with our children. There's no question about it. I parented three. I had frayed nerves. And I want to tell you, many times I acted out of those frayed nerves. And I have asked God for forgiveness over and over again for the times when I didn't parent with love first, but rather with impatience first and anger first and out of concerns for myself first and out of my own tensions that I brought into the home from the outside world, whatever they were. But nonetheless, we're called to strive for the ideal. And in this particular chapter of this book, Our Blessed Lady takes us into an examination of conscience, which is fantastic. As a matter of fact, I'll share with you that last weekend, we were blessed because confessions were being offered in a very safe way. And I took advantage of the opportunity and I used this listing. And I don't mind sharing this with you. I used this listing of questions asked by Our Blessed Lady through the, you know, it's our Father Emil writing this, of course, but that he posits there is coming to us through the voice of our mother. I used them as the means by which I made serious examination of conscience. And it was a very good confession. But we need to be willing to look at these deficits in our own lives. And I've got two quotes from saints that let us know that they struggle too, but they give us the good advice that comes by way of facing a struggle and a trial with grace. Saint Francis de Sales says this, be patient with everyone. Now, you know, to be patient means that we have to die to self. It might mean that we might have to count to 10. It might be that we have to take 20 seconds and say the Hail Mary. It might be that you know, we need to walk out of the room. We might need to tell our child, sit on the floor here and I'll be back in a minute. And then to come back and deal with it. Put them in time out for a moment, but put yourself in time out to gain control of your emotions until you can be patient. Be patient with everyone, but above all with yourself. Do not lose courage in considering your own imperfections, but instantly set about remedying them. Every day begin the task anew, says St. Francis de Sales. In this time, are you learning how to be more patient with yourself? Have you had to struggle to be patient with others? And how did you manage to do either? Let us know right here at Women of Grace Live. The phone number for you to use is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Coming right back. Stay tuned.
Transforming the world one woman at a time. Let's return to Women of Grace with Johnette Williams.
Welcome back, friends. You are listening to Women of Grace Live. I am Johnette Williams, and we're happy to be with you today. 833-288-3986 is the way that you can join us. That's 833-288-EWTN. Also inviting you to use EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page. We'll take your questions, comments, insights, inspirations, and words of encouragement for you right there in the chat feature. Stephanie used Facebook to communicate with us, and she says, this is a great time for parents to spend time with their children. There are board games, teach them to cook, and teach them manners. Well, Stephanie, I couldn't agree with you more. I really couldn't. I absolutely, I think that board games are a wonderful way for parents and children to spend time together. There are great learning moments in board games. You can learn about sharing. You can learn about how to be a good loser. You can learn about patience, taking your turn. You can learn about how to manage your disappointment. There's lots of lessons to be learned in playing board games. And so, you know, parents can give the children the instruction that we're going to put your video games to rest for a little while, and we're going to sit down and we're going to play this. And they just might find out that they'll have a good time, you know. Cook up a pot of popcorn, you know, bring out some snacks and enjoy the afternoon together. And as you say, in the midst of all of that, manners can be learned. And I named some of the ways in which they can be learned, you know, and we want to encourage that. This is a time for civility. Teach your children. I know many parents say, you know, I'm not a homeschooler. You know, I don't think that I can do this. Well, in many cases, you're going to have to do it. And you might just discover that you have talents you never knew that you had. And that's one of the things that the Lord brings out of suffering. We realize that we can do more than we thought we could do. I remember when my late husband, Anthony, passed away. you know, there were so many things that he did that I didn't do. And he was the keeper of 50% of our memories. And with him, those 50% of the memories went. He would keep some memories and I would keep some memories. But lots of those memories are gone for me now. And, I feel badly about that. But that being said, you know, I discovered things about myself that I didn't know, that I was actually capable of fixing a few things around the house. Imagine such a thing, you know, and I was capable of actually negotiating a deal to buy a car. And I discovered that I could actually renegotiate a mortgage. And there were things that I discovered that he had been doing that I really had the capacity to be able to do. And there was a sense of empowerment in the best sense of the word. Interior sense of capacity increased as a result of that. And so, you know, use this time to let the Lord show you some of the hidden gifts and talents that you actually have that you didn't know that you had. So I think you give us a very good suggestion there. We do have Peggy with us. She's from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. Oh my goodness. That's my hometown. She's with us via Alexis. I'm delighted she's listening. How are you, Peggy?
I'm doing great, Jeanette. And I just, you know, love you so much. But your opening, I was out listening to you and walking the dogs, and I'm like, yes, that's exactly right. And prior to this quarantine, my heart has been so heavy with the thought of the children that will be abused during this time by stressed out parents, or because it's bad even in normal times, and this is going to be even worse, escalated. And prior to the quarantine, I was just saying to my husband that, oh, we've got to pray for these kids and wives or husbands who are being battered.
Yes.
And I oftentimes wake up in the middle of the night between 2 and 3 in the morning, and I just usually pray the rosary at that time then if I'm being awoken. And there's been oftentimes at this period that I've been dedicating my rosary to these children or people in these abused situations. And I've been also praying to the Blessed Mother and to St. Joseph, our spiritual father, and to my guardian angel to somehow run interference for these children, somehow comfort them or run interference, you know, block it somehow. And that's just what I wanted. My heart has been very heavy for these children because so often the schools are their safe places.
Yeah.
And they don't have that anymore.
Peggy, you're so right. And, you know, my guess is that, you know, even a lot of parents who normally would not be tempted in that way will be tempted in that way because they really don't spend the time with the children and they don't know how to manage them and they really don't know what to do. And so many children have been, I'm going to use this word, institutionalized since they were infants, where other parties are taking care of them. And so parents don't have even some parents don't even have the basic skills in what to do in child rearing. And we live, you know, we really live, frankly, in a day and time when how to manage children has not been modeled for them because the majority of the people who have children now had parents who were both working. And I remember, you know, in Pittsburgh going, I lived on the east. Where do you live? I lived on the east side of town.
I live in South Fayette.
Oh, okay. All right. So that being said, you know, I remember the teachers talking with us when we were just wee little children and Soviet Union was in power at that time, you know, and sisters were talking with us about communism and the realities of communism. And I can remember Sister Mary Theophane, I was in fourth grade, I remember it so clearly, and she was saying that that she says in these countries, children, mothers are forced to work. The government takes them out of the house and makes them work, and the children are put into big institutions where other people take care of them all day long. And I can remember the feeling that I had in my little girl's heart. A fear welled up in me that you know, not that this could happen to me, but a taste of the fear of what it would be like for me to go home from school and my mother wasn't there. You know, and in those moments when I was very lonely in the classroom, you know, sometimes I would pine for my mom, really, to tell you the truth. But I could locate her in my mind in the house, and I felt a sense of security that she was there. Now, you know, listen, I was a working mom, so I am not putting any kind of an, you know, guilt trip on anyone. But the fact of the matter is, you know, we live in a society today that once was considered to be a way of life that was reprehensible, that was dictated to by a regime that was unholy. And I still think that we live in a day and time in our culture that is dictated to by an unholy regime. And that unholy regime really comes from the distractions that the evil one causes us to have. But I am so happy that the Lord wakes you up between 2 and 3 to pray for these children. And it brings into my mind that maybe we should just say a prayer together right now. So, Peggy, if you'll join me, and if all of you listening will join me as we lift these children up and we lift these frazzled parents up to God right now. And Father, you know, we are living through a very stressful time. And we don't deal with this kind of a threat well. We don't know what to do with it. It's an invisible enemy. And it's an enemy that lies in wait. And we see that enemy prowling about like a roaring lion. But what we do know is it's just like a roaring lion, that you will never let anything overcome us, that you have the victory in all things. And so even though the coronavirus is real, even though COVID-19 might be prowling about, lurking out there, the fact of the matter is we have your protection and we stand under that protection. And I pray that you would bring a peace and a calm into the hearts of all of us, that we would use the gift of free will, that when we feel fright, we feel stress, we feel panic, that we turn to you, that we use that fear and that panic rising up in us as really a call from you to turn and to look into your eyes. And I pray that interiorly we might do exactly that, to gaze into your eyes and see there your love for us, your provision for us, your protection for us. Father, I would ask that for those parents who are particularly stressed, either by coronavirus or because they realize in these moments that they truly don't know how to parent, I would ask for an infusion of wisdom. I would ask that the Holy Spirit would release upon them an extraordinary grace of fortitude and patience. I pray, Father God, that these children would be protected by the mantle of our Blessed Lady, that there would be no blows that would be exchanged, that Our Lady would hide them in her mantle and bring them to safe harbor in her own Immaculate Heart. Father, we would ask that in all ways you would reveal yourself to us in those times of stress, that they might be mitigated through the love and the redemptive grace that you offer to us. And we do offer this prayer to you, Father God, in the name of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the merits of his cross, through the power of the Holy Spirit, and with the maternal beatitude and intercession of our Blessed Lady. Amen. Peggy, thank you so very much.
Thank you, Jeanette.
You're welcome, dear. God bless you. Bye-bye now. And friends, we invite you to join us, 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Is the Lord revealing something to you that might need to be brought into the light of his grace at this time? What is stress causing in you and how are you dealing with it? We would like to know. We are here for you. On Facebook, Nikita says, I was wondering if you could help give advice on how to approach our faith with a family who believes in a false prophet. I want them to know who our mother is without offending. Well, you know, Nikita, this is a very beautiful question, and it's a good question. And it reminds me of something that came up in our mini conference last evening. And that is that this is a great time to be able to evangelize, right? And this is a great time to bring the message of our Lord Jesus Christ to others. We always have to bring that message with a great deal of diplomacy and love for the welfare of the one to whom we wish to present him. The best way that we can do that is through our example, and then through the words that we speak. And we can do it through being loving towards other by living Christ, just as our Blessed Mother, through the pen of Father Emile Neubert, was sharing with us in this beautiful book, My Ideal Jesus, Son of Mary. We need to be like Jesus. Our Blessed Mother's call and mission is to make us, form us into her son with her maternal beatitude and the gift of her abundant capacity to nurture us unto him. And so one of the ways in which that's done is by modeling that reality. We were talking about that a moment ago. So I would encourage you to be solicitous of these individuals, to call them, to check on them, to see how they're doing. If these people are within your own home, go out of your way to be kind to them. Speak loving words to them. Do not operate out of your fear, but operate out of your faith, and let them see that your faith is lively. I would say to them, I'm going in to pray my rosary right now, or call them if they don't live in your home and say, listen, I'm going to pray my rosary. Do you have a special intention? Is there anything I can take to the Lord for you today? That's a request for them to have an opportunity to be prayed for. My guess is that they will accept that. So you can ask that, or you can just let them know, gee, you know, last time I talked with you, you seemed really worried. And I took that to prayer, and I just want to give you some reassurance that, you know, this is going to work out. It's going to be okay. Just, you know, let's just all hold on together in this moment. Things like that, where you insert your faith, but not in a way that is questioning their belief system. They will be intrigued. They will be intrigued. I always say to ask our Blessed Lady to be present in that moment, that just as she carried Jesus to Elizabeth and to Saint John the Baptist, that indeed you would be a carrier of Jesus as Mary is, and ask her to share with you the grace of that moment of visitation, and ask for her to be at your side interceding for you as you go forward in like manner. In all of these ways, I think that you will find that there is more success waiting for you than you might have imagined prior to that. So we encourage you to go in that direction. And thank you for your question here, Nikita, on Facebook, EWTN Radio's YouTube channel and Facebook page available for you there. We invite you to get out there to use the chat feature and leave your question, comment, insight, inspiration, or word of encouragement for us. Again, want to give you that toll-free number for you here in North America. It's 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Once again, want to remind you of the words of St. Francis de Sales: be patient with everyone, but above all with yourself. Do not lose courage in considering your own imperfections, but instantly set about remedying them. Every day, begin the task anew. Here's one from St. Ignatius Loyola. One of the most admirable effects of Holy Communion is to preserve souls from falling and to help those who fall from weakness to rise again. Now, we cannot currently receive in most places Jesus, body, blood, soul, and divinity, through the presence of the consecrated host. But we can receive him spiritually, and we can call upon God and ask him now to make efficacious the grace of all of those communions that we have received in the past. This thirst and this hunger for him that cannot be satisfied by receiving him into our own person can be received spiritually by us, and that thirsting and that desire for him in a certain way releases other graces into our soul. And so I want to encourage you to continue to desire our Lord to make spiritual communions, and to also ask God to release those graces of past communions. It can be that in that we are able to get up from our weakness and rise again. So if we've fallen, if we have given way to irritation, if we have in some way offended another by a curt or a sharp word because of the stress we're experiencing, make haste, say an act of contrition, ask for the graces that you need from past communions, rise up and move forward in a new direction. It is true that many of our churches are still offering the sacrament of reconciliation in very unique ways. And we can take advantage of that. the sacrament of confession cannot be received by phone, but it can be received on a rectory porch, which is where one of our priests in our Diocese of Birmingham is offering it. It can be received in what's become a very popular now drive-by confessions. It can be received. I received confession this past weekend in the parish hall, seated at a very large round table, large enough to seat 10, with the priest on one, curve of that table and me on the opposite curve of that table. And it worked quite fine. I know that priests are hearing confessions behind a wall of plastic right now. So there are, we're calling on ingenuity to be able to receive Jesus in the way in which we can receive him, and the way in which we can receive the graces that we need in the ways in which we can receive them. Call upon those graces. Jason is with us. He's in West Palm Beach, Florida. Sirius XM 130 is the way that he is joining us. Good morning, Jason. How are you?
Hey, good morning. Thanks so much for taking my call. God bless you.
God bless you, too.
I'm a long-time listener, but I decided to call in today because as a Jewish convert and a recent convert, about 5 years now to Catholicism, one of the most interesting conversations I've gotten involved with is our Blessed Mother, her importance in our faith, and really how to translate that to our fellow brothers and Christians that don't necessarily take part in the Catholic faith. You brought up some really wonderful points, and I thought it was such an amazing topic to take on. I realize in speaking to some of my brothers and sisters, again, that are not in the Catholic faith but are Christians, unfortunately have been stripped of some of the major resources that talk about our Blessed Mother in our faith.
Yes.
Like the Book of John. Mm-hmm. I try to tone down a little bit some of our conversation, because if the Book of John is left out, specifically the last 7 lines of Jesus' life, behold, this is your mother, behold your son, it makes me extremely sad that Christians around the world that don't follow Catholicism are missing out on the very womb that brought their Lord and Savior into this world. If a follower of Christ love our Lord Christ the way that they do, then how can they not give any weight to the very womb who has brought Jesus to this world? And then I just wanted to back that in reading the scriptures, it is clear that she is our Blessed Mother. But in regards to sin and just before reconciliation, the only reason Mary was chosen was because she was herself without sin. And so, like you said, it's an incredible model to follow, to aspire, to be like her son. But when we're faced with the conversations of, well, that's false idolatry, it is our time to evangelize our Blessed Mother. She is the gateway to heaven and the gateway to living like her son on earth. So mm-hmm. I don't want to keep talking, being quarantined will make you do that.
But Jason? It does for me. I'm talking to the dogs.
it does. We have 2 dogs, 3 kids, a pregnant wife who's due in 2 weeks, 2 horses. And so, trying to live into our, we're listening to daily scripture. We're following everything we can that the church liturgically is putting out for us. We're exercising the tools that RCAI and that our faith has given us, whether it's daily readings, reflections, divine mercy for Lent. But, just stay hungry and get thirsty, because when this ends, as my priest said to me this morning, who was kind enough to meet me somewhere safe and away from distance of people, this is a time that can be so beautiful in our lives and in our country that when it gets better, and it will get better, our God does not permit this type of destruction at times where we can still reconcile our lives and get to heaven. But when this is over, let's try to remember just a taste of 9/11, which I volunteered at. I'm only saying that because I feel I can speak of the way we reacted after and how short our memories become. And when we get thirsty for our Lord and we get through this Lent and we come out and we're a healthy society again, I mean physically, and socially we're ready to come back together, when we go back to our mass let that mask be amazing, but don't let that be just the one amazing mask because we haven't had it for so long. Like, let's try to remember to take this time with us. It's 6 months after, there's no talk of virus. It's still okay to hold the door. It's still okay to be charitable. It's still okay to follow our calling towards Christ. And maybe this is a time we're in the desert now to get hungry and get thirsty and push away that temptation and live into to what we're supposed to be as Catholics in this world.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen. You preach it there, brother. I'm telling you, you preach it. That is exactly right. And, you know, your Jewish ancestry, talks about making the past present again. The word for that is zikar. And the Passover is an indication of that. For the Jew, when Passover is being celebrated, it's not a remembrance of, it's a bringing the reality of into the present moment. And that's what you're suggesting we do, that we live our life that way, that we're bringing the reality into the present moment, that the grace of the present moment can be expressed right there again in our lives. So all of this opportunity now, friends, God wants us to play it forward. This thirst that we have for the Eucharist, He wants us to remember it and make that thirst present when we can receive Jesus again. It's been great being with all of you today. Looking forward to it again tomorrow. God bless you now. Bye-bye.